Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support military veterans to thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 291 with Jason Goroff.
It was a very interesting and humbling process. I think, you know, I walked out with my DD-214, and I had this assumption that because I was in recruiting command in the Army, I would be able to walk right into a director of HR position. And I found out pretty quickly that that was not going to happen.
Jason has an immense amount of experience in recruiting, both in and out of the military. In this interview, he gives a wealth of knowledge about networking, job fair preparation, applying to jobs, and more. At ADP, he leads a team of 12 who help companies institute a veteran hiring program, as well as a veteran training program once they start to hire veterans. We talk about the step back that most veterans need to make in terms of pay and/or seniority when they leave the military. We talk about continuously learning and building a skill set to progress one's career. And we talk about a whole host of topics relevant to any military veteran. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find show notes with links to everything we discuss. There's multiple related episodes that are called out there. There's also a spot where you can leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts. And special thanks to screen name Royal Noodles, who wrote, "Regardless of your desire to stay or leave the military, this show is rich with valuable resources for anyone in the military. Highly recommend anyone interested in expanding their knowledge base to listen to this show." Thanks to you and all 112 of you who have left positive reviews. It really makes a big difference in getting this show out there. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Jason. Joining me today in Long Island, New York, my guest is Jason Goroff. Jason, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you, Justin. Glad to be here.
So for listeners, here's the quick background on Jason. Jason Goroff is a military recruitment manager at ADP, which gives companies of every size the tools to help their people thrive. From payroll, benefits, and regulatory compliance to talent management and analytics, ADP helps their clients succeed. Jason started out in the Army, where he served for 11 years. He started his civilian career in the staffing industry before moving on to the First Data Corporation and now ADP. So Jason, maybe to start things off, could you rewind the clock for us? Take us back to when you left the Army and what your first job search was like?
Sure. Yeah, it was a very interesting and humbling process. I think, you know, I walked out with my DD-214 and I had this assumption that because I was in recruiting command in the Army, I would be able to walk right into a director of HR position. And I found out pretty quickly that that was not going to happen. I did want to stay in recruiting in some capacity, but I had no idea about the civilian recruiting world. So I wound up interviewing with a few different groups, one of them being a major staffing agency, like you mentioned before, Agilon. And they understood some of the translatable skills that I learned from recruiting in the military and how it would relate to the civilian world. And it was a huge step backwards for me, but it was worth it. They helped bridge that gap. And I'm actually, you know, I'll forever be thankful for them for giving me my first shot. I was horrible at the sales portion of it. So I only stayed with them for about a year. But it did help me bridge that gap between what I learned in the Army recruiting and what I needed to learn to recruit for civilian jobs, such as HR and marketing, to name a few.
That's great. I mean, two things I think that are really worthwhile for listeners on that is first of all, you know, your career is one where what you did in the military somewhat matches what you do in the civilian sector, but it wasn't a straightforward transition. There was still a lot to learn. There was still a lot to educate employers about. And then I also really appreciate how you talked about having to take that step back in your career. And that seems like a trend that I've seen that oftentimes, you know, someone from the military does need to take a step back. They do need to take a bump down potentially in pay or seniority or even the type of work that they're doing. and eventually are able to make that up and more. But it does require that sacrifice at the start. And I think a lot of people might not anticipate that. They might not plan financially for that, and that can catch them off guard.
Yeah, I would agree, Justin. It definitely caught me off guard. And I think a lot of it comes from some of the education that the transitioning veterans are getting. And I noticed this through talking with them every day. There seems to be a misconception that they're going to be able to walk right into the same level of role. And look, we do see it happen. There's someone that I'm mentoring through American Corporate Partners who is able to do that. And that's great. But for the majority of us out there, I'm always recommending to other veterans that I'm talking to, you know, take that step backwards, learn how that organization works, learn how they work in the civilian world. And what will wind up happening is they'll see very quickly that the skills that you brought over from the military apply, and you'll wind up getting promoted pretty quickly. So I think as long as folks are able to go in with an open mind, they can easily get into a real good position and find themselves back where they were, or possibly even higher in a year and a half.
That's great. And I want to call out two other things on this too for listeners. One is, you mentioned American Corporate Partners. It is a great organization that is free for veterans. You get to be paired with people like Jason, people with considerable work experience to help mentor you and provide advice. And for listeners, in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org, I'll add the interviews that we've done with Colleen Deere, and then a second one that we did with Timothy Cochrane over at American Corporate Partners. It's definitely a program worth checking out. But I think that you hit the nail on the head, Jason, where it is, you know, some people are able to maintain pay and seniority when they transition through military. Usually it seems like that's in a role that's very, very related, or a vertical that's, you know, military contracting, things like that. But for the vast majority of people who take a step away from what they're doing in the military, you need to be prepared for that temporary setback in terms of pay, seniority, or whatever else. So I think you really hit the nail on the head with that.
Yeah, and it's a difficult discussion to have. And mentoring different veterans, some of them are not keen on that. You know, they have a feeling that they should go back into the same level that they were in the military. And while there's certainly an argument for that, and, you know, but with us both being veterans, we can certainly see how that argument applies. Unfortunately, you know, in the real world, in the civilian world, it doesn't necessarily work out. And one way I like to position it is, you know, if I'm talking to someone that was on the enlisted side, I'll say to them, you know, do you want someone to come in from whatever company you're interviewing with as an E7 right away? And their first reaction is, well, no way. They don't know what I know and everything I had to learn. And that's when I'll stop and say, well, exactly. There are some things that you need to learn. You certainly have a lot of great experience. But once you could take that experience and learn how it applies to corporate America, you're going to get back to that level a lot quicker than most people.
I think that's incredible advice. And I love that analogy. I think that's very accessible for listeners. And it makes sense when you put it like that, that of course, you know, even if someone had extensive experience or depth in their field, if they were to enter the military, they would have to take that step back too. And it's the exact same on the other side. I want to talk about ADP and your work there, but I just want to make space first, because you know you've had a tremendous amount of experience between the Army and ADP. Is there anything that you'd want listeners to know about your work experience leading up to ADP and what you were learning?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I really did not know much about recruiting in the civilian world, so I went into the agency side of it. And for me, I think that was extremely important. I do know some veterans that were able to make the transition from the military straight into corporate recruitment. I did not have the ability to do that. So I think, you know, looking back, being able to get that first opportunity to go into the staffing world, it taught me a lot. You know, I knew how to find qualified candidates to join the Army. I did not know how to find a qualified director of human resources candidate. And with some great mentors back in 2012, I was able to learn how to do that. So that's a little bit of that step back. But what I will say, though, is the core skills that you learn in the military, especially military recruitment, no matter what branch, that sense of urgency, I think that played a lot into me being able to develop so quickly, especially in the staffing world, where you're competing against hundreds of other organizations in a small geographic area or a large geographic area, all looking to fill that job that they're working on for the right candidate at the same time. And if you're not moving quickly, you're going to lose. And I think that really helped when I went into my first corporate recruiting gig with First Data. I think that had a huge influence on how I was able to make the jump from a brand new civilian recruiter to a director of talent acquisition in 3 years. Mm. So I think it's really just, you know, understanding that there's a lot that you don't know, being open to learning the new skills that you need, but keeping those core soft skills that you learn from the military, keep them as a part of you, because that's what will set you apart very quickly.
I think that's great. You know, I can't think of, in the 290 or so interviews I've done, I can't think of a better explanation than you just gave, where it almost seems like you've got, so you're a relative rarity in that you're doing something very similar to what you did in the military. But I love the mm-hmm. sense of you had this core skill and that you approached the transition with humility, you approached it with a learning mindset, and you were able to layer on the different, over time, layer on these different components that set the civilian work life different than your military work. And I love this thought of just, you know, almost it seems like this mindset of taking a little bit more of a long-term view of, in your mm-hmm. case, okay, you want to do this sort of work. You have the requisite knowledge from the military. Now how can you augment that? How can you build that out and take that foundation and grow it to be able to provide more value in the workplace and be more desirable? And in even just listing out in your bio those different companies that you worked at, it seems like you were cultivating skills at each of them that eventually you were able to bring to bear in your current role at ADP.
Yeah, I would say that's absolutely true. And, you know, I think there's a stat out there, Justin, I haven't seen it in a while. I believe 80% veterans leave their first employer in their first transition, post-transition job. And I think there's a reason for that, you know, and certain companies are more prepared for bringing on veterans. But for the line of work that I chose to go into, you know, I don't think that would be the case. You know, we're not talking about huge corporation. So I think for me, it was not being able, not being afraid to make those moves along the way, and also recognizing where I failed. As I mentioned earlier, my first experience, that first company who gave me my opportunity, there was a sales aspect to that job, and I was absolutely horrible at it, which is interesting because I had to sell the Army for many years. But I did learn a lot on the recruiting side, and then, you know, continued to move around until I found the right spot. And something that I always recommend to folks that I mentor is, you know, your first job out of the military may not be it. Some people are lucky and they find that great company where they can stay until they retire, but it may not be it for you. It's a great experience to get, you know, some civilian work on your resume, but don't ever stop learning. If you feel like you've learned all you can learn at a particular organization, move on. Keep moving on until you get to the level that you left the military at.
I just really appreciate that learning mindset of just always learning, always growing. And I think that, you know, I was only in the military for 5 years, and even, you know, by the time I reached 03, like I, on my boat, I felt pretty confident in what I learned. I felt like pretty secure. And I love the thought I could see where I could kind of start to plateau, where I could start to just say like, oh, I've got this figured out. And what I love about what you're saying is realizing the incredible depth available in whatever job you pursue and really going after it, really deepening constantly and always trying to learn more and grow more. And like you said, that will lead to greater opportunities. It will bring more happiness. And I think just that process too of constantly learning can be really fulfilling.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, you know, as veterans, we have that mindset of, you know, being incredibly loyal to an organization, which, you know, I certainly understand and appreciate. But we have to also remember that this isn't the military anymore. You know, the civilian world will chew you up and spit you out. And, you know, there are situations where you may put 100% into an organization, and then if that organization starts to downsize or close down locations, guess what? You know, you're not being transferred to a new duty station. So that's why it's important to continue to learn and continue to move, even if that means, and I don't mean geographically, but continuing to move organizationally until you find that right fit. And no one will ever stop learning. You know, I don't want to meet the person that thinks that they know everything. But I think, you know, from what I've noticed, that veterans will eventually get to an organization where they feel like, okay, this is a good spot for me to stay. I have ample opportunity to continue to learn here and for future growth. So maybe the first two didn't work out after I ETS'd out of the Army, but this is the right spot for me. This is where I'm going to stick it out, learn, grow, get promoted, and take all of those valuable skills that I learned from the military and put them into action here.
That's great. And I would argue with listeners that the only way to find that really fulfilling fit with a company is to try things out. Like, some, you may get lucky and get it the first time, or it may take a couple of rounds of just kind of realizing, hey, I like this, I don't like this. And that will likely change over the course of your life too. As your life changes, you may want different things. You may want more autonomy. You may want more pay. You may want more travel. And so always adapting to that. I want to ask some questions about ADP, but let's just say, you know, sure. I'm familiar with ADP because I've been out for 10 years, you know, very well-known, well-respected company. But for someone who may be listening on active duty, they might not be familiar with them. So if you were to bump into someone on the street, you know, maybe they're on active duty and they said, hey, Jason, what is ADP? How would you explain the company, the culture, just anything that you think that they should know about?
Sure. So, I mean, first of all, the company, when most people hear ADP, they think of payroll. That's how ADP started. That's what we're most famous for. Chances are, if you're getting a paycheck, it's more than likely coming from us. Obviously, there are some other organizations out there, but we process pay for quite a few. What a lot of people don't realize, though, is we actually offer a whole comprehensive suite of human capital management solutions. So we offer HR, talent acquisition, time management, benefits and payroll services. An example of that for HR is, let's say you're a small or even medium large organization, and you may not want to bring on a full-time HR person yet. You're just starting out. We have consultants here at ADP who can run, put together from scratch, and then run your HR department. Time management, We have some great technology, such as a mobile application that companies can use for their employees to clock in, clock out. And then the part that I'm from is the talent solutions. So I'm part of a group called the Recruitment Process Outsourcing, most commonly known as RPO. RPO is pretty popular. It's normally utilized when an organization either does not want to have their own full-time internal recruiters or if they need to supplement their recruiting effort. So for example, some of the clients that we work with, we are actually their full-time recruiting force. We at ADP act on their behalf. There are some other clients we support that have a full-time recruiting force, but we help supplement that. It could be with specific roles they're looking to hire for, however they want to structure it. We become part of that client's TA team. And the great thing about ADP is with all of those different areas, the locations that we operate, we have some major hubs throughout the country, but there are ADP offices almost everywhere. And I just mean, you know, in the United States, but we're a worldwide organization. So there are a lot of opportunities at any given time for a transitioning veteran to take a look at. And the good part too is, you know, ADP does have its own veteran-specific program to attract and retain veterans that want to work here.
And what about, you know, building on that, why might ADP be a good fit for transitioning military members?
Yeah, I think one of the best reasons for it is the structure that we have in place. So a few years ago, we brought in a gentleman to take a look at how we recruit and retain our veteran talent. And to that day, that still exists. And what we, you know, had to take a look at certain things like, okay, how are we compensating our National Guard and Reserve soldiers when they have annual training, when they have drill? That was one part of it. Also, standing up an internal business resource group, which in my opinion is probably one of the most important things we've done, because it allows that transitioning veteran to still serve with other veterans in a different capacity. An example of that would be every Memorial Day, the veteran resource groups will go out to local national cemeteries and lay flags down. You know, we're always doing activities around the holidays, Toys for Tots. So it gives you an opportunity to partner with other veterans here at ADP and still continue to make a difference. But more importantly, you get a veteran mentor. So, you know, obviously oftentimes we'll see a transitioning veteran come over. This may be their first civilian job ever. And, you know, there are some things that they need help with. A lot of companies don't recognize that. And, you know, a hiring manager, their direct manager can only do so much. What's great about ADP is we have that internal mentor that's been here for a while to help talk to that transitioning veteran and help them through their transition process, whatever issue they may have, whether they feel like the corporate world is a lot slower than the military or there's not as much cohesiveness as in the military. Those are things that exist, and the mentor is there to help that veteran get through that, explain to them the differences, and ultimately with the goal of keeping them here.
What can you tell us about ADP's military recruiting program?
Sure. So basically what we do on the RPO side, I have a team right now of about 12 recruiters. We are all veterans. And we work with many different organizations in a lot of different industries. So basically what you have, there are companies out there that want to hire veterans. Some of them have tried in the past and have failed, and some just don't even know where to start. They know that they want to do it, but they have no idea where to start. So my team and I, we've all been doing this for a while, and we all have a good understanding of the challenges that a lot of companies face. Majority of the time, we see them take an approach to hiring veterans that just is not effective. An example of that would be tapping their talent acquisition team on the shoulder, saying, you know, go find some veterans. They don't know where to find them. They don't know how to necessarily engage with them or translate their skills. So there's really a method to doing it right. And there are some companies out there who are leaders in this space that have been doing it right for a very long time. to me, I think one of the most important parts of a veteran recruiting program is internal education. And what I mean by that is if my team and I are going out there and talking to veteran candidates at a major transition base and getting them to interview with a company, it's not going to do any good unless the company understands the value that the veteran brings. So part of the program that my team offers is internal hiring manager training. And obviously, we don't expect them to sit through an hour's worth of training and learn everything there is to know about the military. It's more about the why. Why should we hire veterans? And how? What are some of the differences? So we coach the hiring managers on things like, you know, you may interview a veteran and they might have trouble talking about specific examples that they did. It's hard for veterans to say, I did this, I did that. They tend to say, we did this, we did that, you know, inclusive of the entire group. So we work with companies to do that, to train their hiring managers. And right now, we're seeing obviously veteran unemployment at an all-time low, but at the same time, companies are having a major issue, as you know, Justin, finding folks to be in skilled labor. So a lot of the smart companies out there are looking towards veterans as a source of that skilled labor, but we need to help them. We can't, you know, what we do is put together a calendar of events that we find are a good fit for them to attend, and we'll go on their behalf. We'll outreach, we'll conduct outreach for them at TAP, lever offices, major transition bases, local National Guard Reserve. So that's what we're basically doing is each client that we work with has their own ADP program manager to oversee the day-to-day, make the strategic decisions, and then underneath that, a layer of sourcers or recruiters that can help find that talent. And what's great about it is everyone on the team is a veteran. So they're able to speak to these candidates, understand what they really did, and have the ability to explain that to the hiring managers that they're working with.
That's so awesome. I think when I'd first heard about this, I'd assumed, oh, this is what ADP uses to hire veterans themselves. But what you're describing is exciting to me because it's almost like just like every company needs payroll, every company needs these services that you provide. This is just another service that they can layer on to say, look, we know what it takes to find and recruit and interpret great military veteran backgrounds. And it's exciting for me to think that that companies are realizing the importance of this and working with you and your team of 12, which is incredible. It's a massive team to make this happen and working with people who have that skill set and knowledge to help them execute on that plan.
Yeah, it's the best way to describe it, Justin, is it's really a lot of fun. You know, ADP as a whole does have its own military recruitment program. It's run really well. And, you know, that affects someone like me, you know, if I wanted to work at ADP. But what my team and I get to do is work with so many different organizations and just a vast amount of industries, anywhere from a major car dealership to a major grocery chain, and, you know, really do a deep dive into their positions, figure out what veteran skill sets are going to be a good fit, coach that organization on maybe looking outside of particular skill sets. We try to get rid of that, you know, well, if you were a truck driver in the Army, then that's the only, you know, that's the only thing you can do is be a truck driver here. We want these companies to be able to understand that a lot of these veterans have soft skills that will transition to a management level role. But it really is fun. It's fun to be able to work with these different companies, put together their strategy, and help them execute on it. And we've had quite a few really great success stories where, you know, companies that were just struggling to do this, we were able to increase their percentage of U.S. veteran hires tremendously. But we don't stop there. We also work with them to make sure that they're retaining the veterans. We help them stand up their own internal resource groups, mentorship programs. It really doesn't do any good to just help companies hire veterans. We have to, as part of a holistic approach, we have to solve every challenge. And one of the challenges is getting them to stay.
I love that because I, you know, now that you say that, that makes sense. But I don't think I would have thought that initially, which is getting someone through the door is only part of it. And I love the thought of a company being committed to helping veterans thrive in their organization. And that first part is finding them and hiring them, but the second part is training and supporting them. And so being able to provide that end-to-end solution is really compelling.
It is. And it's amazing how many companies just don't realize how easy it is to implement some of these programs and just, you know, certain taking a look at their interview guides, for example, you know, making them more veteran friendly. It's not a difficult thing to do. It's just, you know, a company has to have an open mind and then they need to have the subject matter experts there to help them. And they can either, you know, bring in a subject matter expert internally, or in certain cases, you know, work with ADP RPO, and we can certainly do that for them.
You said earlier something that stuck in my mind was you were talking about something that I've observed as well, which is veterans talk about we instead of I and things like that. Given all the work that you've done with veterans, what other advice do you have for them about their transition process, about working with recruiters, about preparing for interviews, anything in those lines?
You know, I think one of the first things I noticed years ago, going to career fairs, veterans would come up to the table and say, you know, tell me about your organization. And, you know, certainly we'll do that. But I think, and this is for all the veterans out there that are getting ready to transition, before you go to a career fair, really research the companies that interest you, but be open-minded. I remember I went to a career fair in New York City, I want to say it was 2014, and before they let all the candidates in, there was a retired sergeant major who was running that career fair, telling the candidates, okay, not everybody go to the NYPD. Although it's a great job, you're not all going to get hired. You know, take a look at the other companies that are out there. You'd be surprised how many of them have jobs that are a good fit for you. So I think that's one thing, is realizing that some of these companies you may have never heard of before really are veteran friendly and a good fit. So research those companies before you go to these job fairs. Take a look at some of the openings that they have, or even if there's nothing open at the time, some of the positions that you're interested in, and be prepared to talk to their recruiters live about it. You know, bring your resume with you, ask questions. I've been to many job fairs where I've come across veterans interested in a role in human resources, and the company may have not had anything open at the time, but you know, knowing what they want, I was more than willing to sit there and have a conversation with them about it. I think the wrong approach, like I described before, is just going up to a table and saying, you know, what do you do? We can only help you so much when we're taking the time to explain what we do, as opposed to explaining how, you know, you can go about searching for a role, and being a part of the organization. I think, you know, right now, this is, you know, pretty well known that resumes and applying to jobs, it's just not as effective as it was in the past. I always recommend to start networking at least a year before you get out. And network effectively. Sometimes I'll get a message on a platform like LinkedIn. I got one the other day. It just said, is ADP looking for accountants? You know, without sounding like a jerk, I really don't know. You know, it's such a large company, I'm not really sure. I think the better strategy is one, you know, after you research the companies that you're interested in working in, sending a little bit of a brief summary about yourself and why you want to connect, you know, the interest in working for that particular organization. You'll find that recruiters, especially recruiters that specialize in veteran hiring, are more than happy to take time out of their day to speak with you. I speak with people all the time, just an exploratory interview, you know, see if there's a good fit for them in the company when they get out. If not, I know people that work at other companies, so I may be able to refer them. But I guess the big theme here is do some research. You know, take a look at the organization's website. If there is something open right now and you're getting ready to go on terminal leave or you're getting ready to leave for good, after you apply, you know, definitely reach out and have that veteran recruiter advocate for you. But transition is hard, and there's a part of it that you're responsible for doing yourself. And I think a lot of people get confused when they see these veteran recruiters that they're automatically just going to be able to, you know, snap their fingers and get them into the company. You have to do some of the work yourself. And if you do the work yourself, it's easier for that veteran recruiter who's trying to help a few hundred veterans, you know, point you in the right direction.
I love that you're hammering on that point of preparation. And I think that that's great, both in terms of doing the research about companies before a job fair, doing the heavy lifting of being able to explain one's background, even on that LinkedIn outreach example, which is just, it is, I understand, I've probably done things like that, like sent an email like that. But then on the other side, it does just seem sloppy. It does seem like, you know, especially when a question could be answered easily online. You know, most of these big companies list the positions that they're hiring for. And so Doing the work to figure out, like you can figure out if there's a job open. And that's, that to me, the thing that really I think triggers me and a lot of others is that email that you described is just cut and paste. Like we all know that, right? Like if it's clear that this message has been cut and paste 100 times, it's going straight to the trash versus doing the extra half an hour of research to find some specific information about the company. And like you said, telling about yourself and why it's relevant. But in this age of control V, when anyone can cut and paste, you have to do things to stand out a little bit differently. And as you said, all the things that you're highlighting, they do kind of high level back to that thought of doing, you know, putting in the effort, doing a little bit of extra work, doing the heavy lifting for the person on the other side, whether they're meeting with you at a job fair or receiving your email.
Yeah, and you know what, Justin, I've certainly, you know, I've been guilty of doing the same thing in the past, and I think that's why it's so important. When I do get messages like that, I really want to help that veteran. So I will, you know, respond back and say, hey, you know, take a look at our website first. Let me know what interests you. But just, you know, putting some of the responsibility back on them, because I don't want them to continue making that mistake. And then, you know, they're going to wind up, you know, having a really difficult time finding anything. And I think it's just something that, you know, other veterans that are already in the civilian workforce really need to do to help mentor recently transitioned veterans understand that, you know, that some of this work is on their own, and we can kind of point you in the right direction, but we just can't do it for you. One, we don't know what you're interested in. Even if you send a message saying, are there any accounting jobs? I don't know where you want to live. I don't know where you're looking to live. I don't know what your background is. So just by providing a little bit more dialogue and something that, you know, the person on the other end, the recruiter, can actually work with, you'll get more responses. And ultimately, that will lead to more interviews and then hopefully a job.
That's great. And I think, Jason, you get credit for taking that time to help people. I think for me, if I were in your shoes, I think I would just get upset that someone's being sloppy like that, and I would just delete the email. And so the fact that you are taking the time to respond and help them out and help improve them, I hope that listeners appreciate that is atypical. I think most people, if you're making an obvious mistake like that, most people aren't going to take the time to help you learn and to help educate you on that. So you get props for that. That's very rare.
Well, you know what it is, Justin? I know what it's like. When I got out, it took me 5 months to find a position, and it was nothing but, you know, no callbacks. Couldn't understand why, and until the light went off in my head that I was aiming way too high. Mm. So I get it. You know, I've been there before, and I just, you know, want to make sure other people don't go down the same road that I did.
Yep, that's great. What about this is a specific question, but just around networking. Any advice on even, I guess there's two parts here. One is for someone particularly who's on active duty, how they might narrow down the world in terms of what sort of job they would want to do. And then once they do that, especially for these larger companies that have so many people, how to even know who to reach out to or how to even make that dialogue occur.
Yeah, that's a real good question. And I think a lot of it goes back to learning how to use LinkedIn. LinkedIn could be an extremely useful tool. There are veterans on LinkedIn that have used it so well that they've had job offers before they've even gotten out of the military, just by beginning to market themselves. But my suggestion is, you know, have an idea of at least two or three jobs that you're interested in. You know, this is what I want to do when I get out of the military. It's also helpful to have a location. For some people, it doesn't matter. You know, I speak to plenty of transitioning veterans that are going to stay put and let the government pay for their final move to wherever they're going to be working. There's nothing wrong with that. Once you figure out what you want to do, start researching the companies that do it. Follow their page on LinkedIn. Go to their career site. Put your resume in their talent community. Some of these companies even have a talent community for veterans. And a talent community is basically you're just uploading your resume for all of the recruiters in the organization to see. So if they have a particular opening, they may be searching their database and may come across your resume. Now, if you really want to start having some conversations, this is where there's some trial and error. Once you learn how to use LinkedIn, you can specifically target recruiters and probably most important, managers, leaders in the field that you're looking in. So let's say you wanted to do something with information technology, right? And you pick your three organizations that you want to work for, you can search for IT managers in those organizations and put together that nice introductory note and send it to them. Sometimes people aren't going to respond. Sometimes they will. And it's the ones that will become an advocate for you. And when it's time to start putting those applications in, after you've spoken to them on the phone a couple of times, you're going to get a major advantage, because just submitting a resume isn't really cutting it anymore. So figure out what you want to do, start looking for people who do it, and put together a nice message. If it's a manager, put together a message saying, hey, you know, I'm looking to get out of the military in 5 months. This is what I currently do. This is what I'm looking to do. I see you've been doing this. Is it okay if we have a conversation? I'd really love to learn about how you got to where you are today. The majority of people are going to be open to that type of conversation.
I think that's just, man, I think you're given a gold mine of information here. And I love the way that you've broken that down. And for listeners, I would just add, you know, especially in this process that Jason is describing, there's a fair amount that you can cut and paste. Like, don't feel like this all needs to be from scratch. But I would encourage you to think of keeping that 20% or more that you customize, you know, and I will often try to, you know, based on the person I'm reaching out to, I'll look at what they've done in the past. I'll make note of that. Or if we know someone in common, or if we did something in common, or based on their location, just trying to find the ways to personalize it to show like, this is not mass outreach. My outreach to you is meaningful. I'm trying to, you know, genuinely make a connection here. And I think that can make a difference when a lot of people are just new in a more generic approach and just copying and pasting across the board.
And, you know, Justin, you brought up a good point when you just said people that you know. Some of the first people you should connect with are people that you served with, especially if they've already transitioned. You know, they've already started that process. They've already started making those connections, and they might be able to introduce you to the right person. If they're already working at one of your target companies, reach out to them first and say, hey, you know, remember me? Who is a good person for me to reach out to if I'm interested in a particular IT role at your company? So definitely use the network that you already have first. If you are thinking about attending college, you know, connect with people from school, connect with professors. There's an internal network that you already have that you may not realize. And you can, you know, actually utilize that network that you already have to possibly connect with people that you need to speak with.
That's awesome. And I haven't done it in a couple of years, but I used to look at the response rates based on how I emailed people and how our sales team emailed people. And as you would expect, the warm introduction, when I took the time to say, hey, Jason, you know Joe, would you make an introduction? Mm-hmm. That it was, you know, let's call it 5 or 10 times more likely to get that meeting than if I just emailed Joe directly in a cold way in which I don't really know him. And right. So leveraging those connections is really valuable. And that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why it makes sense to invest time in building out your LinkedIn profile and your network. It's always the first thing I do. I look and I search for second degree connections, meaning I know someone who knows this person, and I always will go that route if that's an option.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I would add, Justin, is don't be afraid to go to local networking events. There are a lot of companies out there that will hold special networking events specifically for veterans. There are other veteran groups in different locations throughout the country that will hold networking events. Don't be afraid to go to these things. I'm not the most outgoing person in the room, but you know, I've been to these events before, and you never know who you're going to meet. You know, just one handshake, one business card may make all the difference, you know, when you're looking to get into a particular company. So definitely go to those things, especially if you're still in and they have them on base, go to these networking events.
Do you have any advice on how to approach those events? Because I know that sometimes people in the military can feel slimy going to an event specifically to meet people, or even taking people up on an offer. Like, they can feel like it's very transactional. Any advice on how to approach that in a way that might sit better with them?
Yeah. You know, I kind of felt the same way about it, to be honest with you. I think the best way that I overcame it was, you know, look, this is not really my personality. This isn't the type of thing that I want to do. But I got to think about my future here, and my future outside of the military is going to be very different. You know, in corporate America, these type of events exist. Even if it's not just a networking event, you may be in a company that has, you know, holiday parties or different things of that nature where you're out there and shaking hands and rubbing elbows. So if you're not that type of person, you kind of have to do what I did and just get outside of your comfort zone and force yourself to go. Force that smile. You know, go up to some people that you may have no interest in the past in speaking with, and introduce yourself, and, you know, and have a good conversation with them, let loose a little bit. It's only going to help you. And it's not comfortable. It wasn't for me. It still isn't for me. But it's really an effective way to start meeting people that you may have not met before, and you may be surprised one day, you know, you may need to reach out to that connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts? I know we're short on time, and there was a couple other questions I want to ask. One question I had was just any thoughts that you have on higher education and whether to transition directly into college or grad school, or if it's better to get real world experience first.
Yeah, I'm sure some people are going to hate my answer, but this is just my opinion. Especially right now with the gap in skilled trades, I personally think it's better to go right to work and, you know, do your schooling on the side. I come across quite a few veterans that got out. They're using their post 9/11 GI Bill, which is great. They're getting a 4-year degree, and now they're having trouble finding work. And, you know, luckily for them, they're not in debt because they had the GI Bill. But they're either having trouble finding work, or they still haven't taken that step back that we spoke about before. And there seems to be an assumption there that just because they got their degree, they don't have to take that step back. The degree is good, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have the experience. So on the other end of what I've seen is people that transition out of the military, find a role, especially right now in a skilled trade. There are truck drivers out there making $90,000, $100,000 a year because they're in so much demand right now. And then on the side, get some classes done. And that's probably not the most popular opinion, but that's just, you know, what I'm seeing in this current market is it's better to get that experience. And you can't replicate it you can't replicate your military experience by a piece of paper. So take that experience, translate it, get yourself started in a job, even if it's just a job, not your career yet, and go to school on the side.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And I loved my grad school experience. I thought it was great. I'm very, very grateful for it. I would probably do that again. And I completely agree with what you're saying for most people, which is the value of that experience. It's experience where you're making money getting that experience. And I think that for myself, and I think for many veterans, we're very hands-on. We learn by doing. And so that's the best way to figure out, do I like this size of company? Do I like this functional role? Do I like this industry? Do I like this geography? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of getting some miles to understand how that fits with you. One thing I always like to ask is about any resources that you would recommend to listeners. That could be podcasts, books, blogs, in particular, also anything about ADP for diving deeper and getting to know more about the organization.
Sure. First, I'd like to recommend Beyond the Uniform.
I think it's thank you, sir.
It's a great platform to listen to, you know, how other companies are recruiting veterans, and you know, there are some really great subject matter experts there. I was looking at your schedule the other day, you know, some folks that are going to be speaking soon or have spoken recently that are, you know, really good with this transition type of advice. you know, as we mentioned before, I'm doing, I'm mentoring someone on American Corporate Partners. Jeff, if you hear this, congratulations on your job. And I'm also a big fan of Vetorati. For those of you who never heard of it, it's a really great mentoring program where you, if you want to mentor someone, you can go in and create a profile. If you want to be mentored, you do the same. You can search for someone who is either at one of your target companies or in your career field and select a time to speak with them. And it's really great. You'll select that person. They'll confirm it. When that time comes, your cell phone will go off and you'll have an automated connection with that mentee or mentor. And I enjoy doing it. I have a lot of fun speaking with people from all different backgrounds and giving them, you know, just the rundown of how I did things. And my advice certainly isn't the best for everyone. But for certain people, you know, I have been able to help them. So I'm definitely a big fan of that.
And for listeners, in the show notes for beyondtheuniform.org, I'll add more information about ADP, but I'll also add episode 160. We talked to Daniel Rao, who's one of the co-founders of Vetorati, and so you can get more information about them. They're a wonderful organization. Well, I know we only have a couple minutes left, and I always like to leave the last question open-ended, which is, what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up?
I guess the biggest thing for me that I try to express to every veteran that I speak with, this period of your life can be very difficult, no matter where you are in life. When I got out of the military, you know, I already had mortgage payments to make, you know, they could not really afford to take too much of a loss, although, like we mentioned before, I had to take that step backwards. Be realistic with yourself. It's so easy for a veteran who transitions into a company and takes that work ethic that they learned no matter how long they were in the military to see themselves advance rather quickly. Do not be ashamed to ask for help. It doesn't matter if you're a full bird colonel. There are other full bird colonels that have gone through this before. Ask them for help. Even if it's not help finding a particular job, everyone has a different opinion on how you should handle your transition. There are some of you that are listening to this that will disagree with my opinions. There's someone else out there that will have a better opinion that's more applicable to you. Don't be afraid to ask, but keep an open mind. Look at some of these companies that are not well known. When I went to First Data, I had no idea what First Data was. I had no idea it was a huge 24,000 people credit processing company. You know, just keep an open mind. Don't close any doors. Do the heavy lifting yourself. But remember, there are thousands of people that went through this before you. The biggest advice I have to give is don't get down on yourself. I always hear it from veterans where they say they've submitted 50 resumes and never got a call back, went on 10 interviews, didn't get hired. So did I. So did a majority of the people who went through this transition. Move forward. If they didn't select you, it's because it wasn't the right opportunity. Just keep pressing. Do not dwell. Even if it was your dream job and you don't get it, don't dwell on it. Keep moving forward. Eventually, you will get something. And then maybe in a few years, that dream company will take the civilian experience that you've learned and hire you. But I guess to summarize, just don't give up. Everyone's been through it. Keep moving forward.
Thank you, Jason. I learned a lot, and I think I just appreciate your sharing that extreme amount of knowledge. And I just want to point out for listeners, because I know you've benefited from Jason's advice, this is an example where you take a career path and you continue to delve deeper. I know that Jason had a lot of great, little nuggets of wisdom here. Each of those came because he has been spending, decades perfecting his craft and learning. And so not only did I want to just kind of, thank you, Jason, for the knowledge that you shared, but I also want to thank you for being an example of what it's like to really deepen and solidify one's knowledge in a chosen field. It's really awesome to see.
Yeah, glad. I hope I can help at least one person. And, I really appreciate you having me, Justin.
Surface. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Quick couple admin points. We release brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday. Those are usually recorded about a month or so before they go live. And every Monday and Thursday, we have an interview, usually almost always with a military veteran about their civilian career. More and more, we're starting to add in experts who may not be veterans, but may have some expertise that will help the military veteran community. Saturdays, I typically post more of a behind the scenes episode, which is a free form format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format. And by that, I mean business up front, party in the back, talking through admin points, professional topics related to the podcast. It might be a conversation I had that week. It might have been an interview I had that week, but just trying to share things that are top of mind that may help you in more of a free form, straight from the heart format. And then the party in the back is the personal side of things, just kind of more free-flowing thoughts on life, on improving oneself, just kind of whatever's going on in life and trying to be authentic and honest about those things as well. Special thanks. We have an all-volunteer army of people behind Beyond the Uniform making this possible. We do this on our lunch breaks, on our evenings, on our weekends, because we love the military community. We want to give back. We want to make a difference. We want that as part of the purpose in our life that we valued in the military. So special thanks to Steve Bain. Steve does pretty much everything. He helps secure guests. He does our newsletter. He keeps the reels rolling and keeps me sane. Kathleen Dillon, the first person to join our team. She writes text transcripts of every single episode. It's wild. She keeps up with two of these a week despite a demanding career and education right now. But those transcripts help us get more SEO value, helps her audience more. Andrew Woolridge is our data guru. He helps us understand the numbers, which is the easiest way for us to figure out how we can better support you, and adds kind of the data oversight for that. Rick Healy does all of our social media. He is gaining more and more of an audience for us by getting our videos, getting our podcasts out on social channels. The best way to stay in contact with us is if you go to beyondtheuniform.org. There is a newsletter. You'll have a little pop-up that comes up. You can put your email in. We email twice per month. We try to be respectful, but it is a great way to get appraised of upcoming events, upcoming interviews, promos where companies are giving discounts to Beyond the Uniform listeners, and more. This does cost money to put on. We are committed to not charging veterans directly. And the way that we kind of offset costs is through corporate sponsors. So if you know of a company that would like to get in front of a military audience and their families, that's one way that we can both add value to our members, but also offset the costs of Beyond the Uniform and give us a little bit of budget to start expanding what we're doing. So that's the best way you can help us. If that's not something that you can do, a positive review on iTunes is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful week. We will be back Monday, Thursday, and Saturday with more interviews. And keep up the listening. Take care.